I'm wanting to share a message with you this morning called Walk with the Wise. Everyone say Walk with the Wise. And we've been busy with the book of Proverbs in Bible school. It's been a fantastic journey just to go on that journey with the Bible school group. And we got stuck in Proverbs. And most of you know that Proverbs is a collection of sayings. Hey, it's a bunch of wise sayings. And so I want to test you. What's the main theme of Proverbs? Wisdom. Okay, is it a slim kerkie so for oggend? Wisdom. Yes. Proverbs 1, right at the beginning, says these are the proverbs, the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. We don't like the discipline part, but we like the wisdom part. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom to help them understand the insights of the wise. Wisdom and insights of the wise. And so I think we all know what wisdom is, but let me just put a definition up there for us. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having experience, okay, experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Don't know about you, but that sounds like we all need a little bit of that. Okay, so that is what wisdom is. We're going to get to walking with the wise in a second, but I want to hold before us this question: why do we need wisdom? Hoekom het ons wysheid nodig? What's that? Anders doen ons net wat ons wil, ja, en hoe draai dit uit? How's that working out for you? Not so good, hey. So I think we must realize up front that whether we're Christian or not non-Christian, society in general values wisdom. I remember when back in the days when we still used to watch more movies, many years ago, there was this movie called Far and Away with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. It's a story about these Irish folk that basically go to Oklahoma, to North America, to go and claim some territory there. But the story starts off with this farming family, but they're really poor. They're kind of like peasants. And the landowner, I think they didn't pay their rent, and the landowner comes and basically burns down their, causes them major trouble. And then this Tom Cruise, who's in the story, is this Irish peasant with the name of Joseph Donnelly. I'm going to test my Irish accent here, so please don't laugh at me. It's kind of mixed up with the Scottish, but you get the point. He goes and he basically wants to sort out this landowner of his. And eventually he gets him, but he finds him in this local little bar where just a few of the locals are, and Joseph Donnelly comes into the bar, and there are probably about four or five people sitting there. And they clearly all know each other. It's their local little watering hole. But Joseph is not, he's a stranger, he's a foreigner. And he kind of comes and he sits down at the bar, and everybody kind of looks around, kind of, what you're doing in our bar. And he orders his drink, and they slowly start coming around him like this, and they're inquisitive now. They start testing him, and they say, from the north are you? Are you from the north? And he just kind of ignores them. And another one comes around the south and says, perhaps from the south. And he kind of looks at them as well, and the other one, nah, from the east. And eventually Joseph tells him, gentlemen, I'll just be minding my own business. And everybody goes, very wise, very wise. And they realize they're not going to get him out of their bar, but they acknowledge that he was wise not to answer their questions. And so there is this, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, there is this value that society places on wisdom. And so we need wisdom. So why do we need wisdom? Wisdom is valued. It's got currency value in societal terms. Is the first reason. The second thing is that it's really, really valuable. The book of Proverbs says in 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? And so I've got a piece of gold here this morning. I went to the Reserve Bank and they were kind enough to lend me a brick of gold here. It's very heavy. So you'll just excuse me. And I need a volunteer now. Donovan, come here. Donovan, stand here so langs me. You're going to have to help me now because this is very heavy. Not yet quite there. So Donovan, If I had to ask you, do you want this piece of gold, okay, which I'm going to give to you there in one hand, just don't drop it on your toe, it's very heavy, okay, there we go, okay, or I've got wisdom for you, it's in the book of Proverbs, okay, which one are you going to take? Okay, close the doors there at the back, let's give him a hand. Ons gaan nie goud vat en hardloop, né? We're going to take the golden run. Yet the word of God says, how much better than gold is it to get wisdom? And I want to ask you, do you really value wisdom? Do you really value it in a sense more than riches? Do you value it? Is it something that's preeminent? Is it something that's featuring constantly in your life? Is it something that you're asking the Lord for? Here, gee my wysheid. Or is it just something like, yeah, wisdom, I suppose, yeah, it's probably a good idea. But do we really value wisdom, biblical wisdom? Number three, we need wisdom because we don't want to be what the Bible calls fools. Okay, I love the Bible. It doesn't mince its word. Okay, so you get wise people and then you get fools. Now, for some of you, that's offensive, but it's in the Word of God. Okay, so there is what we call a fool for Christ. That's what Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 4. But that's a different kind of fool. Those are apostles that are being beaten, that are being slandered, that are being ridiculed. And he says, we will be fools for Christ. I'm not talking about that kind of fool. I'm just talking about not a fool for Christ, just a fool. Okay, and the Bible says it's not a good idea to be a fool or foolish. Ephesians 5:15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. And it's amazing how the Bible contrasts the wise and the foolish. We got the 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. We got the wise man who built his house on the rock and the foolish man. Okay, when I used to read that story to William, we used to have this little song. Wise man bou sy huis op die rots, die wise man bou. You know, and the foolish one is called the die dwaase man, hey? Don't you just love Afrikaans? Die dwaase man. but we'd have this little song that would sing, and basically the wise man would be alright, but the dwaase man he's in trouble. You know, the rain came. The what is the reën kom neer en die vloed stoot op. Die reën kom neer. And the reality is life will give you rain and the floods will come. The floods of trauma, the floods of chaos, the floods of relational pressure, you know, unexpected job situations. The rain will come down of life and the floods will push up. And what will happen to your house? Are you the wise person who's built on Jesus Christ? Or is your security on the things of the earth? Because if your security is on the things of the earth, your life will come crashing down as your bank account gets attacked or comes under pressure. Have you built on the rock or are you the foolish person? The third one, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tears it down. Proverbs 14. And so the third reason why we need wisdom is because we don't want to be the fools. We want to be those that are wise. Lastly, number four, the last reason why I believe we need wisdom is we are constantly needing to make choices as human beings. When you wake up in the morning, you already, whether you like it or not, you are faced with choices. Do I hit snooze again or do I get up? And the ones I've hit it three times, when can I push it? You know, until I'm going to be late for school or late for work. Is it Rice Krispies or is it All Bran? Do you understand? Am I shaving today or can I wait until tomorrow? Is it the red shirt or is it the blue shirt? This is before we get out of the house. Okay, those are the little things. You're constantly choosing, you know, and you guys know the drill. If you're flying somewhere, it's chicken or beef. Or if you're going to work, it's do I speak to my boss about my raise today or do I leave it? Is he going to get upset? Do I quit this job? Do I look for a better one? Do I sell my car? Do I buy a house or not buy a house? Do I rent? What do I do? And for those who are dating, is this the man for me or not? Is this the man of my dreams or do I call it quits and move on? We're constantly faced with choices, and for choices we need wisdom. And there's the saying that if only I knew what to do. Have you guys heard that before? If only I knew what to do. I don't know if we find ourselves in a situation around just one aspect of our lives, and we're like, if only we knew what to do, and we need wisdom. So how do we get this wisdom? How do we become wise? Number one, we walk with the wise. Okay, the Bible's got this saying, walk with the wise. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So let's just focus on that second part of that statement. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's basically saying if you hang around with the wrong people, it's not going to go well for you. You guys know the saying so well, show me a person's friends and I'll show you their future. It's so, so true. Those people we spend time with and we choose to spend time with shape us. They shape our values. Eventually, they rub off on you. Eventually, you start speaking the same, acting the same, laughing at the same jokes, appropriate or inappropriate. The companion of fools will suffer harm. But whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. It's such a powerful principle. I kind of just find myself reading over this. So whoever walks with the wise, does that literally mean you find a wise person and you walk behind them? No. You can do that as well. You might freak them out a little bit. But basically what it's trying to say is you hang out with them. You spend time. You find wise people. And you try and spend time with them. Stephen Curtis Chapman had this beautiful song, or has this beautiful song when I was growing up. It's called Walk of the Wise. Has anybody heard that? Oh my goodness. None of you Stephen Curtis Chapman fans. Sing it for you. Not today. Next week. But the lyrics are so powerful. It says, I prayed a prayer for wisdom. I'll read it for you. It says, I prayed a prayer for wisdom, just like a farmer prays for rain, because I knew that I must have it to survive in this life. So I took a look beside me, to my left and to my right, and saw people full of wisdom all around in my life. And it started to become clearer. I began to understand that my prayer was being answered. It's all part of God's plan, that if we walk with the wise, we will grow wise. Whoa, whoa. If we walk in the light, then our path will be bright. I know. And he just manages to capture this thing that if we walk with the wise, we become and we grow wise. And I want to ask you, with who are you walking this morning? Are you intentional around in surrounding yourself with people that know more than you, that have more experience than you, that have more skill in certain area that you strive to grow in? And it's the wonderful thing, our culture has become more and more open to mentorship. When we were in the States, spending a bit of time in the States recently, we realized that most people there, certainly in the church circles that were leaders, were very intentional around this concept of mentorship. And everybody, it seemed like everybody had a mentor. And they didn't just have one mentor. They had a mentor for business as a pastor. They had a mentor for fitness. They would get somebody to train them because they knew somebody knows more than me about getting my temple fit and healthy. And so they would book sessions with them. They would have a marriage mentor. You name it, multiple mentors. And I want to ask us in church, how many of us have those relationships in our lives? How many of us can truly say, I have a bunch of mentors. I am walking with the wise. And as I am walking with the wise, those that have gone before me, that have bumped their heads so that I don't need to also hit my head against the same walls, they're speaking to my life. As I'm walking with the wise, I am becoming wise. And one day I will be the one that walks in front of others, and others will walk in the slipstream of my wisdom and benefit from it. And we're so blessed in church to have older folk in our congregation. We're not, fortunately, like one of those congregations that's completely homogenous in terms of age and race. And you know, we don't all look the same and sound the same. Some of us have experience in this, and some of us have experience in that. And we've got all the profiles here. I love it. I love it that, in fact, we've got Derek and Rosita, and we've got a Jeremy, and we've got a Johnny, and we've got, where's John? John is back. Welcome back, the Armstrongs. We missed you. But people that just know a lot about their field. And you know what's the nicest thing for me is I can send people in this church to a John and say, you know what, I know a little bit about finance, but we've got great people in this church. You can go speak to a Derek, or you can go speak to a John, or you can speak to Johnny. We have those people in our church. The question is, are we making use of the wisdom around us? You see, there's something to be said for the aged. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. Okay, so wisdom is with the aged. I think there's another verse in the Bible that said something about the gray head, but I don't like that that particular verse, because I'm going to go completely bald before I go gray. But you know what I'm saying. So I'll stick to the Job scripture. Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. Does that mean that all old people are wise? No. I wish it was like that, but sometimes you have an older person, a younger person that's trapped in an old person's body, and they're never grown up. They never allowed themselves to be discipled, or the people that were meant to disciple them just never discipled them. And so you've got a youngster in an old person's body that's still acting like a young person. Okay, let's not ask for a show of hands. Who knows people like that? But no people like that in our church. But I wanna hold before us that we have a gift in our midst. The wise, the aged. You see, they've been to school. And I'm not talking about Franschhoek or Groendal. I'm talking about the school of hard knocks. Generally, we learn by doing the wrong things and then telling ourselves, I'll never do that again. Because just how much it cost me. And so we are blessed to have those around us. Are we using them? So number one, how do we become wise? We walk with the wise. Number two, we ask for and we seek wisdom and counsel and advice. One of the most dangerous species of Christian is what I call the Lone Ranger Christian. That's not interested in church, not interested in fellowship, that doesn't believe in the institution of church anymore, generally because they got hurt. And guys, there's legitimate reasons for getting hurt in church. If you think church is the place you're not going to get offended, newsflash. They're just humans in you as well. And so often those hurts that we pick up in church are the ones that keep us away from church, because say, those Christians, you know. But I want to tell you, we're just people in you. Where there's people, there's politics, church or non-church. But don't be those people that try and do life all on your own, without seeking advice, without thinking, I know it all. And I didn't have time, we don't have time this morning to go into all the details. There's such a strong link between humility and wisdom. I had three or four scriptures here that we don't have time to go into. But basically, it's saying to you that if you pride yourself in your ability to figure everything out, and you want to, bless you, sister. If you're one of those Christians that just like, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but sometimes you come to people, or people come to you and they want advice, but before you can give them advice, they're already giving you advice. Once again, I won't ask for a show of hands. Some wives and husbands might give each other away. But it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating when you're sitting. I remember years ago, there was this person we were on a journey with, and they were really struggling in their personal finances, and it was not going well, and the credit cards were maxed, and it was really tough, and we'd kind of just been on a journey for a couple of years where the Lord had kind of really renewed our thinking around personal finance, and we invited this person to come, not to listen to us, but just to come listen to the sessions that we had listened to. Because we didn't want to come across as know-it-alls. But this person came to the session. They listened to this DVD session, and at the end of the night, it was basically like water off a duck's back. They had the exact problem that this guy was addressing, and he was just like, "Nah, I've tried that, you know." And we're like, "Really? Because it doesn't look like what you're doing is working for you." And the sad thing is that years later, and I mean, this was 2014, 10 years later, it's just more downhill. And so I want to say to you that unfortunately, fortunately God exalts the humble, but the proud he resists. And so if we have pride in our hearts, we will be those that say, you know what, thanks for the advice, but I don't need it. And so the humble disposition, the humble attitude is generally the person that is open to other people speaking into their life. Have you heard that term? Will you speak into my life? Because you see, when you allow somebody to speak into your life, they generally are able to show you things that you can't see. Many years ago, we at a church meeting, and the leaders were of our church were facilitating that meeting. And you know how it goes. We like the kind of bless me club situation where you got the chair in the middle and all the Christians around, and we tell you how amazing you are. And we need to do that more often than not. But sometimes we need faithful brothers and sisters. The word says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But flattery basically denies that person wisdom and insight. And so sometimes that morning, this leader said to us, today we're not going to say how amazing you are. Today we're going to come around you and we're going to highlight one or two or three blind spots that we see. Enough. Okay, so we were like, in the beginning, nobody's saying nothing because you don't want to offend your friend or your colleague, you know. You're just like, you're amazing, nothing wrong, you know. But eventually when it got a bit creak for long enough and I suppose if I have to say something, it would be this. And it was really awkward, but you know what? That was one of the most valuable and insightful sessions that I have ever been in. Because what they helped me to see is what we call our blind spots. You guys know when you're driving and you look in your rear view mirror and you want to change lanes, but you haven't checked this little angle, just this one little angle over here. I did it a few months ago up the Halswichte Pass, and I wasn't faithful in checking this little blind spot. And luckily, just as I turned up in the corner of eye, I was like, whoa, you know, and I avoided a situation. And life is like that. Sometimes there's stuff that you just can't see. And you need people to speak into your life and to say, brother or sister, I want to speak the truth in love, okay? In love. So a reminder, when you do this, we approach it in fear and humility, and we speak the truth in love. But we need to be open to counsel and to advice, because the Word of God says in Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. We used to know it as in the multitude of many there's wisdom. In the multitude of many there's wisdom. So where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So it's implying two things. It's implying that you're open to counsel, and it's implying that you're open to a multitude of counselors. Okay, some of you think, okay, I'll allow this person because I know they'll just say what I want to hear, so I have my counselor. No, that's not, dis nie inspraak in jou lewe nie. When we're talking about multitude, we're talking about multitude. The multitude of counselors, many counselors. Some of you are like thinking, what are you talking about? I have nobody speaking to my life. That's why the sermon is going out today, so that we can make changes. A few months ago, we needed to decide. It's actually about, it was probably about a year ago now, we needed to decide where are we going to send William, our eldest, to high school. And they're in high school, they're in school in Stellenbosch, and really blessed that there are a couple of good options there. But I must tell you, it was such a difficult decision for us, because we knew he's the first that needs to go to high school, so it's possible that his sisters are going to follow. If they go to a co-ed school, if he goes to a boys only, then okay, then we'll have to have a different discussion. But for me, it was a big thing. It was, I don't know, I remember growing up in my high school years were such formative years that you don't want to do the wrong thing. And it's not just me and Jolene's decision. We involved William as well. And we said, we're gonna take time, and we are not going to rush this decision. And we're not going to get to 99 and it's 1 week to go and you need to fill in the forms and then we're going to go, where must you go? No, we took like basically a year. And maybe that's a bit long for most people, but I don't like rushing decisions. And so I think I set up like coffee dates with about 10 couples whose kids had been in different schools. And we just said, speak to us. Speak to us about the school. Speak to us about the culture. Speak to us about the sport. Speak to us about the academics. Speak to us about the teachers. Speak to what's the news on the playground? How do they talk to one another? What is my boy going to look like in 5 years' time when he comes out of that environment? Because whether you like it or not, any school environment shapes a child. And so I realize he's going to be spending a lot of time with a lot of other kids. And at the end of the day, He may look and sound like those other kids look and sound. And we've invested so much into the kids. So Jesus, give me wisdom. Where do we send him to? It's not like there's one option. There are many options there, and they're generally all schools. That makes it even harder. And I found myself with that statement just now, if only we knew what to do, and we would have conversation, and then we this way, and then we this way. Then we speak to this one, oh yes, and then we speak to that one, oh, but have you thought of that? And it came to this point where, in the end, we had to hear from the Lord. And I want to say to you, in the multitude of many, there is wisdom, but at the end, you also need to go to God and get the answer. But it's a great process when you've done the due diligence, when you've gone and done the hard work, and you've got all the facts on the table in front of you, and you've got wisdom, and you've got counselors that have spoken to you, and you kind of got a direction, but then you take that to the Lord, and you say, Lord, what do you say? And so we were able to make the decision, and I believe we've made the decision, and we trust it's the right decision. But what I'm trying to hold before you, we didn't rush into that decision. We went and got our multitude of people speaking into our lives. So number one, how do you get wise? You walk with the wise, so you become wise. Number two, you seek counsel. You find your multitude of counselors. And thirdly and finally, we simply ask. Because the Word of God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, James 1 verse 5, let him ask. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, so what a promise. That if any of us lacks wisdom, if any of us finds ourselves in that place, if only I knew what to do, there is something that you can do. You can ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. Let him ask God, because this God is not a God that finds pleasure in keeping his child in the dark. He doesn't find pleasure in withholding truth and insight and knowledge and prophetic guidance from us. He's a father that he kind of wants to shine the light on your path. If you would just come and spend time, he will give you a word for the next season. But most of us are just like, I know what to do. I've got experience. I'm trained. I've got a 4-year degree. I've got this, God. I'll call you when it's necessary. But if we would take time and come sit at the feet of Jesus, he'd say, you know what? Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. But what a promise that he will not withhold wisdom from us. It will be given to him. And then there's a but. There's a catch. There's a caveat. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So the way that we come to God is like, God, I really need wisdom. And I trust you that you are going to give it to me. I trust that you will give it to me. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for us. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you that you are the answer. No matter what the question is, Jesus, you are the answer. You have made provision, Lord. You have not hidden your voice. You have not quieted your voice from us, Lord. You have given us your word. Father, how majestic are your ways, Lord, that you speak to us in so many different ways. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you declare who you are through nature. Father, thank you that you speak through your prophets. Thank you, Lord, that you speak through wisdom, through dreams, Lord, through prophecy. There are so many ways, Lord, that you give wisdom and insight to us. And we just acknowledge that this morning. And we say thank you, Lord, that we don't need to stumble through life like fools. That we don't need to be those that are the blind, groveling and groping, Lord, for the next beacon, Father. But that we can confidently walk from place to place, goal to goal, assignment to assignment, confidently, Lord, because we have your voice in our hearts and in our ears. And thank you, Lord, that we can walk as the wise. And so, Jesus, you know every household circumstance here this morning. You know every business reality. You know every relational challenge. You know all the options. And Father, we acknowledge that sometimes those options are overwhelming. And Lord, we just get fatigued by the what's and the ifs and the maybes, the implications of the yeses and the nos. And so, God, we bring our lives before you this morning, and we thank you for your word that has made provision for us to walk in wisdom, to walk as the wise. And so, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us right now where there are areas in our lives where we're perhaps not walking as wisely as we should, where we're perhaps walking more in my own wisdom than in the wisdom that's been provided for through your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you prompt us? Would you show us, convict where we are not walking as the wise and we are not walking with the wise? Would you show us, Lord, where we are not asking for wisdom when you so desperately and so liberally will provide it and give it to us? We ask these things in Jesus' name.